Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
Alleluia.
The last two programs of Go and Teach have to do with all about Jesus Christ. In the first program, we talked about Jesus and overcoming with his help. Our text was Mark the 5th chapter, verse 1 through 20. Last week we began a lesson concerning Jesus and the use of miracles. If you would like either of those two lessons, please go to our website at www.montevistacoc.com, and on that website you will be instructed on how to receive free of charge those two lessons. We stopped last week in the middle of the lesson concerning the use of miracles by Jesus, but we began that lesson with John the 20th chapter, verse 30 and 31, wherein we saw that three things are evident concerning Jesus and miracles. Number one, he did miracles while he was upon the face of the earth. Number two, those miracles were witnessed by many people. And number three, the miracles that Jesus performed proved his sonship. In our lesson, we said that we would consider, first, the definition of miracles as done by Jesus, second, the characteristics of those miracles, and third, the use of those miracles. We even said that, should we have time, we'll talk about whether or not miracles such as Jesus did while upon the face of the earth, whether they are terminated, or whether we can still expect to see them today. We talked about the definition of miracles last week. We talked about also the characteristic of the miracles that Jesus did. And now today, I'd like to continue our lesson concerning the use of the miracles of Jesus and say that the establishment of Jesus as the Messiah was done through miracles. We saw that Jesus is called the Anointed One, the one that the people were looking for in Acts 2 and verse 26. There the Bible says, "Let all of the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made him both Lord and Christ." We saw the effect of the miracles that were done on the 5,000 and feeding thereof in John the 6th chapter and verse 14, where the Bible says, "Therefore the people saw the sign which he did. They said, This is of a truth the prophet that cometh into the world." We saw then that the miracles that Jesus performed fulfilled prophecy, Matthew 1 and verse 23, and that Jesus was from God, John 3 and verse 2. Jesus showed that he was approved of God by the working of miracles, Acts 2 and verse 22. But also Jesus used miracles to uphold his authority, to claim the authority that was rightfully his. We noted last week that to claim authority is one thing, but to have it is surely another thing. We saw Mark 1, verse 21 through 27 that validates that point. Jesus showed authority for his practices in the use of miracles, Luke the 10th chapter, verse 10 through 17. And I believe, if I'm correct at least, that was the passage that we ended with in our lesson last week. Now, I'd like to suggest to you that Jesus demonstrated his authority to forgive sins through the use of miracles. If you have your Bible with you, turn with me to Mark the 2nd chapter, and let's begin reading in verse 5. In Mark 2 and verse 5, the Bible says, "And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, 'My son, your sins are forgiven.' But there were some of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, 'Why does this man speak that way? Surely he is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?' And immediately Jesus, aware in his spirit that they were reasoning that way within themselves, said to them, 'Why are you reasoning about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Arise and take up your pallet and walk"? But in order that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, 'I say to you, rise, take up your pallet, and go home.' And he arose and immediately took up his pallet and went out the sight of them all. So they were amazed, and they were glorifying God, saying, 'We've never seen anything like this.' And when he went out again by the seashore, all of the multitude were coming to him, and he was teaching them." Surely those people had never seen anything like Jesus had done in that healing in Mark the second chapter. Man with palsy in Capernaum. Jesus was using his miracles to uphold his authority. Not only did Jesus use miracles to establish his identity and to uphold his authority, he used miracles to confirm the mission that he was on. Jesus came to bless humanity with his works. In Acts the 10th chapter and verse 38, the Bible says, "He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil." When John asked if Jesus was the one in verse 3, he was told, look if you would in the book of Matthew, verse 4 of chapter 11. That's Matthew the 11th chapter, beginning in verse 4. There Jesus said, Jesus answered to them and said, "Go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who keeps from stumbling over me." Indeed, Jesus used miracles to prepare the disciples, and he used miracles to show that he was the one. Matthew 4, verse 4 through 6. When Peter's mother-in-law was sick, Jesus healed her. And then, after that healing, we read about it in Matthew the 8th chapter, beginning in verse 16. If you have your Bible, look with me at Matthew the 8th chapter, beginning in verse 16, and reading through verse 17. And when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and healed all who were ill. He did that in order that what was spoken of through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, "He himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases." That's Matthew 8, verse 16 and 17. So Peter's mother-in-law was sick, and Jesus healed her. And then he said those things that we just read. Also, the mission of Jesus Christ was to save mankind, Luke 19, verse 10. He used miracles to prepare his disciples for the going into the world. Look, if you would, in the book of Luke, chapter 5, I'd like to read for you verse 1 through 11. That's Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. "Now it came about that while the multitude were pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. and he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to pull out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the multitudes from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let your nets down for a catch." And Simon answered and said, "Master, we have worked hard all night and caught nothing, but at your bidding I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed such a great quantity of fish that their nets began to break. And they signaled to their partners in the other boat, and they came to help them. And they come and filled both of the boats, so full they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at the feet of Jesus, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For amazement had seized him and all of his companions because of the catch of the fish which they had taken. And so also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon, and Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear, for from now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to the land, they had left everything and followed Jesus. So then, the mission of Jesus Christ was to save mankind, Luke 19, verse 10, and he used miracles to prepare the disciples for going to save mankind in the name of Jesus. The Lord's third mission was to establish the church or the kingdom. Note, if you would, the argument that Jesus made in Luke, the 11th chapter, beginning in verse 14. If you have your Bible, look with me at Luke chapter 11, verse 14 beginning, and I'd like to read to you through verse 20. "And he was casting out a demon, and it was dumb. And it came about that when the demon had gone out, the dumb man spoke, and the multitudes marveled. But some of them said, 'He casts out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons.' And others, to test him, were demanding that they were demanding of him a sign from heaven. But he knew their thoughts, and he said to them, 'Any kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a house divided against itself falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? For you say, 'I cast out demons by Beelzebub.' Now if I, by Beelzebub, cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? Consequently, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." You see then that the Lord's mission, one of his missions in using miracles, was to establish his kingdom or the church. A final use of the miracles that Jesus did is seen in producing a saving faith in mankind. In John the 20th chapter and verse 31, passage that we've referred to again, we read, "But these things are written that ye may believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." I'd like you to consider now with me for a few moments whether or not these miracles that Jesus was performing can still be performed today. I know that you hear, even on this radio program, on this radio station, you hear people saying that miracles can still be done today. I'd like to consider with you whether or not that's true as it relates to the kind of miracles that Jesus was doing in the first century, about which we read in the Bible. Do we know that that type of miracle still happens? Can we determine that by studying the Bible? Well, first of all, we appeal to observation. If they're still being done, where is it that they're being done? If people are still walking on water, where does that happen? I'd like to go see that. I'm thinking that there are a lot of people that would like to go with me to see that. If there are miracles still calming great storms, I'd like to suggest to you that there have been some storms in the recent past, particularly around New Orleans, that I would have liked to have seen calmed. It certainly would have saved a lot of heartache, a lot of death, a lot of confusion. Where are people that still calm storms like Jesus did? If there are people still raising the dead, where are they? I'd like to go to the graveyards where they're operating and see people being raised from the dead. I have loved ones that have died recently that I would like to have raised from the dead. Where are people? So first, I appeal to observation. Secondly, what is the reason for miracles today? As we have studied together, Jesus used miracles to confirm his identity and to confirm his message. He gave the Holy Spirit to the apostles and some of the disciples to do the same thing, didn't he? To bring to remembrance all that Jesus told them, John 14 and verse 26. To guide them to all truths, John 16 and verse 13. To confirm the word that was being spoken, Mark 16 and verse 20. But I read in the Bible that all truth has been revealed. If all truth has been revealed, what then do we need miracles for? To confirm truth. I call your attention to 2 Peter, the first chapter, and verse 3. It's a very meaningful passage when it comes to whether or not all truth has been revealed. In 2 Peter, the first chapter, in verse 3, the Bible reads like this: Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and excellence. Well, what about that? Has all truth been revealed, like it says in 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, or has it not? The word has been confirmed already. I call your attention to the book of Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, the second chapter, verse 3 and 4, the Bible reads like this: How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was the first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard. God also bearing witness with them, both by signs and wonders, and by various miracles, by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. Has the word of God been confirmed, or has it not? The Bible says that it has. If the word of God has been revealed in its totality, as we read in 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, and if the word of God has been confirmed, as we read in Hebrews 2, verse 3 and 4, then I would suggest to you that there is no need for miracles today. The need has been fulfilled. We have the perfect law of liberty. Look, if you would, in James 1 and verse 25. In the book of James, the first chapter, and verse 25, the Bible says, But one who looks intently at the perfect law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. Well, I ask you, do we have the perfect law of liberty, or don't we? The Bible says in James 1 and 25 that we do. And it says that that perfect law of liberty furnishes us completely and to every good work. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 17. If you have your Bible, I'd like for you to turn with me to 2 Timothy, the third chapter, and read with me verse 17. There the Bible says that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So then, the Bible says that we have the perfect law of liberty. Perfect means that there's nothing that you can do to it to make it better. We have the perfect law of liberty, James 1 and verse 25. And that perfect law of liberty furnishes us completely to every good work, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 17. Do you believe that? Do those preachers that claim that the miracles of the first century are still being seen today in the 21st century, how do they feel about James 1 and verse 25 and 2 Timothy 3 and verse 17? I'd like to hear the answer to that. Miracles are not performed today because there is no way to empower one to do miracles. The Holy Spirit was given either directly, that's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2, or from heaven, Matthew 3 and verse 11. So it's either given directly or it is imparted by the laying on of the apostles' hands, like it was in Acts 8 and verse 18. There's no more baptism of the Holy Spirit because Ephesians 5 verse 1, which was written in A.D. 62, says that there's one baptism. That one baptism is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's administered by the disciples, Matthew 28 verse 18 through 20. It's with water, Acts 10 and verse 47. It's for the remission of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. If there's a Holy Spirit baptism, then there's no water baptism. And if there's no water baptism, there's no forgiveness of sins because there is one baptism, Ephesians 4 and verse 5. There's no more apostolic laying on of hands like there was in Acts 8 and verse 18. Simon saw that it was through the laying on of the apostles' hands that the Holy Spirit was given, and he wanted to buy that. There's no more of that. How many of you think that there's apostles still living upon the face of the earth that were living in the first century? Finally, there's no more miracles today because the New Testament teaches that they've ceased. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8 through 13, that very thing. A contrast between the partial and the complete is given. In verse 8 of that passage, he says that which is in part will be done away when, verse 10, it will happen that the perfect comes. Well, let me ask you, has the perfect come? James 1 and verse 25 says that the perfect law of liberty is here. Do you believe that? Or do you believe that which is perfect is still coming? That we need miracles, that we need these wonderful powers of the Holy Spirit that were experienced in the first century, that we need those in the 21st century to bring us to the perfect law of liberty. I would say that if we need those in the 21st century to bring us to the perfect law of liberty, then James 1 and verse 25 is not truthful, that it's a lie. And that if we believe that James 1 and verse 25 is a lie, how then can we have confidence in anything that we read in the book that we call the Bible, on those pages that are inspired by God? No, my friends, there are not miracles today. There are things that occur that are wonderful, things that occur through the providence of God that we might not understand. But we don't have miracles today like we had in the first century. We don't find people walking on water. We don't find people that are raising the dead. We don't find people that are calming the storm, because those things and the purpose for which they were done has been accomplished. We have the totality of revelation from God. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, 2 Timothy 3, verse 17. I hope that you will study that you will believe what the Bible has to say about that, and that if you have questions concerning that you will ask us to discuss with you what the Bible teaches. At the Monte Vista Church of Christ that is located at 2202 North 40th Street in Phoenix, Arizona, we speak where the Bible speaks, and we are silent where the Bible is silent. Bring your Bible and come and check us out. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.